Money. Part 7. Toward Integrity, Toward Nature. Our economies, worldwide, have been in shambles for at least a century. How can we proceed from our present horrible mess toward economy with integrity? We first need to contemplate our true worth and value, and consider where it comes from and where it doesn't come from. We need to contemplate the true worth and value of other people too, and respect their intrinsic worth and good qualities. We can spend our time and heart with people who are worth real value, people with honesty, integrity, compassion, virtue, good character. It's important that we stay grounded in reality and remember the difference between reality and imagination. We can remember nature and not get lost in artificial technology or artificial reality, including money. Blaming the system or just doing what everybody else is doing will not help. We must change our actions. In order to re-establish economic integrity in our physical world, it is essential to restore a natural material system of exchange. Money must be interchangeable for items of real intrinsic value. Real value in a physical world cannot be created with computer keystrokes, and money should not be created by computer keystrokes either. To represent value, the total amount of money in circulation must be proportional to the total estimated value in the region. In order for an economy to have integrity and for society to thrive, this proportion cannot be changed arbitrarily by computer keystrokes or fraud, but only by a valid public authority for the benefit of the people, and in proportion to the total value in the region. Meanwhile, we can reduce our desires and live within our means. This does not mean living in pain and discomfort, like temporary austerity measures imposed by governments. Rather, it is a permanent life choice to eliminate the unhappy state of pressure of always wanting something, the stress of debt, living on the edge, competing with others, or feeling that we ought to have what they have. We can refrain from borrowing money from corporations and strangers, except in genuine emergencies like life and health. Borrowing money for vacations, entertainment, gifts we can't afford, or for new items we don't really need, increases our stress and decreases our happiness in life. Some licensed professions require certification, but otherwise, instead of borrowing for education, we can go to libraries, local experts, or internet sites and learn as much as possible ourselves, avoiding both the indoctrination and the debt. We can establish and join local community savings and insurance plans where people help one another and know one another. We can be happy for life and in life. We can focus on what's important and enjoy everything around us. We can be grateful for what we do have, our loved ones, our experience, and our opportunities. We can release any resentment we have to the universe, knowing or believing that it will handle the imbalances and bring all of us our due in proper time. As long as we have resentment, we carry seeds of ill health and unhappiness. Although we can't take it with us, money or property, we do take resentment with us, and we bring it back again and again until we release it. Appealing to those at the top of the financial hierarchy is unlikely to be met with a response that is even remotely favorable. People who have such power do not relinquish it voluntarily. They have too much fear. They have held power and wealth for generations and cannot even fathom living without either one. They cannot bear the thought of the common populace not being under their control. We can hope or pray, but we'd better not sit around waiting for them to change. Trading our labor and property directly for items of value or services as much as possible, without using money, is highly beneficial at all times. Trading material items in a material world is consistent with natural order. We can keep our dealings clean and clear, without entanglements or encumbrances. It's important to deliver what we promise on time. This serves to keep economic integrity in society, which is crucial for it to remain stable. If we work for someone else, especially a big corporation, we need to find out what our work is really being used for. If this purpose is not beneficial for human beings or for society, we can search for employment that has dharma and integrity, or go creative and become independent. We can avoid paying or accepting interest as much as possible. Getting interest harms all of our neighbors and everyone all over the world who doesn't own enough money to earn interest. What we gain in interest arises out of their labor, not ours. It is a type of stealing where we don't see the people from whom we are stealing. We thus pretend that we are not doing any harm because this type of stealing is legal. We can also give as much as possible to others, judiciously, without strings, and with joy. We can remember what's really valuable in life, especially our loving relationships with one another. We need to spend our time and heart on what's really valuable. It's absolutely crucial that we are not bound to thinking or believing that material value is the only value, or that all value can be measured in money. It is crucial that we do not reinforce or reestablish the curses of fear that have been attached to money for millennia. We need to place our faith in the virtue and goodness of one another, and to foster this virtue and goodness with enduring relationships that build trust. Faith in humanity, in the goodness inside us, is our real security, for it is people who help one another that will enable humanity and human society to survive. When enough of us are thinking straight, human creativity and ingenuity will spring into action, and people will devise honorable systems of exchange that will serve to support society rather than destroy it. Matter is important in a physical world. Money and exchange are important, vitally important. If we want the human species to survive, or if we want to progress spiritually, we must learn the lessons and discipline of our material world. We must have due respect for material and materiality, and for the morality of its exchange.